The theme that just permeates the readings of today is whether or not we as the disciples know Jesus, whether we recognize him as the Lord of our life, and if so, how do we respond? I'm always struck by Peter in Scripture. You know, Peter is that wonderful disciple, apostle that just has a great love for the Lord, and yet he's just so human, so like us, because he's so impulsive sometimes. It was Peter who, when he saw Jesus walking on the water, thought that he could do it too, and start jumping out of a boat and starts walking on the water and starts to falter. It was Peter and his love for Jesus that when Jesus was talking about having to suffer and die, Peter felt compelled to pull him aside and said, "Lord, please don't talk this way. Please don't talk this way." Which prompted Jesus to respond, "Get behind me, Satan." It was Peter who, when they came to arrest Jesus, that he was the one who was going to protect our Lord, drew his sword and struck the guard in the ear. It is, of course, the love that Jesus had for Peter, that when we recognize the apostles, especially three of them, we always see Peter named first. Scripture always states Peter, James, and John were with Jesus. And Peter's always that first one mentioned. It's Peter who Jesus said, to whom he said, "Peter, you are rock. And on this rock, I will build my church." There is, of course, a great love that Peter had for Jesus. And that man, Peter, had such a passion for the Lord that you can only imagine how he responded to the people in the first reading of today, in the Acts, whenever he said, You are the ones who handed over Barabbas, a murderer, instead of Jesus, instead of the one who is the Lord of life." You can just imagine Peter with that passion saying, "How could you possibly do that? How could you hand over a murderer to Pilate and let the Lord of life be crucified? How could that possibly be?" We recognize today certain situations, certain decisions that are made, and some have dubbed this society as the culture of death. There's no doubt that in that moment, Peter was facing what I'm sure he thought was the culture of death. Letting a murderer go free and crucifying the author of life. How could that possibly be? But what Peter says to them, "My brothers, I recognize you acted out of ignorance." And what he did was he shared with them that there's indeed a God who can indeed forgive us for all those times that we do not have a discerning heart, times in which we do not ask the Lord to be a part of our lives and a part of our decisions. It was in the second reading, as John says, if you are going to know Jesus, then know him through and through. And if you say you know him, then keep his commandments. John goes further to say, and if you say you know him and you do not keep his commandments, then you are liars. John was strong. He didn't hold back. And we are the disciples of today who are called to know Jesus, to know him in our lives, in the way in which we make decisions, in the way we live and move about our day. We're the ones who are called to know Jesus and to know him in a way that permeates our soul and our lives. And to know Jesus means, yes, indeed, we read about him. We study anything we can about our faith, about our Lord, about the great gift of salvation, that we're called to know Jesus by breaking open the pages of Scripture and sharing in the breaking of the bread. This is indeed how we come to know Jesus. And in knowing him, we recognize who he is in our lives. So two disciples were walking their way, and they were discussing everything that had taken place when all of a sudden Jesus approached them. They thought it was a ghost. They didn't know him. They didn't know who he was until he started to speak to them and share with them all about what was written in Moses and the prophets. And then they recognized him too in the breaking of the bread. Jesus indicates that we are called to be witnesses of all this. We are the disciples of today. And like the disciples when these scriptures were written, we are called to know Jesus and to be witnesses. To be a witness, and then to fulfill the role of witnesses, it's more than just observing and seeing. It's in the proclaiming. You know that in the court of law, that when there is a trial, witnesses are called. Witnesses are called forth because they've seen something. They know something. But they are not witnesses just because they know and have seen something. They fulfill their role as witness when they take the stand and they tell what they know, what they've seen. They fulfill their role as witnesses when they shared it, what they know, what knowledge they have, and what they possess. We are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. We are not only called to know him, we're not only called to love him, we're called to share him and proclaim him to everyone else we meet. Because we will fail as witnesses if we kept this knowledge to ourselves, the great gift of our salvation only harbored within our hearts and not shared with anyone else. To be witnesses of Jesus Christ takes some responsibility, some courage, and a lot of prayer. My friends, we celebrate this Easter season knowing that we are the ones who are the recipient of God's great love through the redemption won for us by Jesus Christ, who suffered, died, was buried, and rose for our sins. We are witnesses of this. As we celebrate this Eucharist, let us pray that we will have the grace, the courage, and the ability to witness to the entire world through our words and through our actions what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let us pray that we will have the power, the boldness, and the ability to proclaim Christ's presence in this world. Amen.